It's time for the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. Serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
Nate.
I feel better.
Good. Nate, what's new?
Pretty much everything.
That's not how you say it. That's not how you say it.
What's new, Nate?
Thank you, Gilly, for keeping us in line.
You're welcome.
It's very good. Pretty much everything is new. I just finished my first week in Atlanta.
The ATL.
Basically just been driving around, kind of getting the lay of the land, finding out how the traffic's like, which, let me tell you, it's like every hour of every day, constantly.
Would you, on a scale of 1 to 10, Cypress Gardens Boulevard in Winter Haven, Florida, being a 9, where would the Atlanta traffic rate?
Like a 30?
Yeah, okay. But it's a 30 24/7.
Yeah, no, it's like there is no part of Atlanta that doesn't have some type of traffic every hour of every day. But so far it's been good. I've been mostly just in driving around, like I said, just kind of getting the lay of the land, looking for some apartments and stuff. It's kind of expensive to live up here. But
let me ask you this. Have you eaten anywhere good?
Yeah, we had some Thai food. Yeah, we had some Thai food the other night. That was pretty good. Kind of had a little bit of family style type thing. So we had some like pad Thai and curry and a few different types of curry and a couple other things I can't pronounce, but it was all pretty tasty.
Did you have anything with an octopus in it?
No octopi.
Is pad Thai the one with the peanuts?
Yes, it's got peanuts in it.
Is that the most basic white girl Thai dish you can order?
It's the pretty much the kind of, if you don't really know anything about Thai, that's what you get.
It's the pumpkin spice latte of Thai.
Sure.
If you will. And I will.
This is our first remote recording with Nate. And if it sounded as though we maybe knew some of the answers to that, it's because this is, what, the third time we've been through this?
Hey, don't.
If it could go wrong, it has gone wrong.
No.
Too much inside baseball?
Don't tell him the...
The secrets?
The magic of radio says that we've never talked about this before.
Okay, from this point forward, we haven't. What is new with you, Emily?
What's new with me, Travis, is I have a new Facebook group.
Oh,
because
boy.
I made a 3 o'clock cheeseburger and it got me saved.
Oh, okay.
Changed my life. No. So I meal prep food every Sunday. I meal prep my first breakfast and second breakfast and my first lunch and my second lunch.
You've seen.
Are you a hobbit?
Yeah. Wait, a hobbit eats more than one meal?
Yeah. It's like, we can look up the clip if you want to, but it's like first lunch, second lunch, snack, afternoon snack. First dinner, second dinner. They eat like 8 times a day.
Are you a hobbit expert? Like, are you our archery / big game / turkey / hobbit resource on
this
show?
It's like the things of the forest is what you're an expert in. Aren't hobbits from the forest?
They're kind of from the forest.
Don't hobbits live underground?
They live in holes.
They live in holes?
In the side of the earth.
Like badgers.
I'm not going to go into it, but yes, I can call myself a hobbit.
I feel like you've kind of gone into it already.
They live in like mounds.
Like ants or termites.
Sort of.
Okay.
Anyway,
you were saying?
So every Sunday I meal prep all these meals. And so I put my, Monday when I was eating my 3 o'clock cheeseburger, I put a picture of it on Facebook and people were like, how do you meal prep a cheeseburger? And so I started having kind of dialogue about it. And I like individually bag all the components of the cheeseburger and then store them in the fridge.
What are some of the components to a cheeseburger?
Well, the burger and the cheese, obviously. And then
white American.
Yeah,
it's a good start.
The only way to go. Somebody in my group talked about eating Munster cheese.
Nah, that's a rookie move.
I don't like
Munster.
Don't come into my group talking about Munster cheese. That's not what this place is for. This is a holy place. You leave your Munster cheese outside.
There's an important ingredient that you want to talk to Nate about, I'm sure.
Spicy pickles.
That's a pro move.
That's like you and Nate bonded over that.
We both love spicy pickles, and every time we had burgers, I ran out of spicy pickles because between me and you, we can eat a jar. Like,
pretty much.
Like it's our job. So anyway, we have a Facebook group now. It's called Meal Preppin' and High Steppin' because we're proud of our meal preps.
Meal Preppin' and High Steppin'.
Yeah.
Can I join this group?
You cannot.
Can I?
Yes, you can.
Oh, thanks.
Travis can't join because I've seen what happens when he joins Facebook groups.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
I just want to know if they have any thoughts on like the Starbucks racism issue.
No, that's not
I feel
what
like it's a good
for.
Forum to discuss that.
So anyway, that's what I got going on. Trav, what's new with you?
Have you guys been following, speaking of Facebook groups, the Merritt Island debacle debate, waterfowl meeting this past week?
No.
You know, I have heard a little something about it.
I'm sure you have, just from proximity. So here's the idea. They've opened it up for discussion. Duck hunters can go over there and meet with the powers that be at Merritt Island National Wildlife Refuge. If you're an interested party that's not a duck hunter, you can also come and voice your concerns. And I just want to say this. Like, this has got me, it's got me a little fired up. A fishing guide, Billy Rodney, has gone out. And he went a couple weeks ago and said, we need to ban mud motors. Now, you and I both know a mud motor causes no more damage than an outboard.
That is true.
If you want to say, let's ban motors, okay, if you can show me some data that says we need to because of seagrass, I'll entertain that. But to arbitrarily say mud motors, nah, I don't think so. That seems a little bit like you're picking and choosing. Then we have a photographer out there named Drew Kavanaugh, who has decided that duck hunters should not be allowed in the refuge because they scare off the ducks and they're shooting waterfowl, and it's called a refuge in the name. It's a refuge. So we should be giving the ducks refuge there. Nate, you and I haven't discussed this before. Who pays for the National Wildlife Refuge System?
Duck hunters.
I went and looked since 1934. Do you know who designed the first duck stamp? Just, I'm taking a flyer. You might know this.
Your mom.
I don't actually know that.
Ding Darling.
Ding Darling.
Yeah, the guy who has the National Wildlife Refuge at Sanibel named after him, designed the original duck stamp in 1934. Since that point, duck stamp sales have raised $800 million. $800 million. Of which,
that's a lot of dollars.
98%, well, that's 98% of the fees for the stamps that have gone back into the NWR program.
Right.
To purchase land. So I believe the number at last I looked was over 6 million acres nationally.
I'll believe you.
So maybe let's just settle down with the duck hunters don't belong in the National Wildlife Refuge. I mean, we get 60 days a year to hunt.
Well, let's think about that for a second, right? So without duck hunters, there would be no refuge for people to enjoy, period.
Well, and I get, like, Merritt Island is an oddball because it did not use those funds to purchase the land. So if someone comes along and says, hey, I want to donate land to the National Wildlife Refuge System, the NWR is going to take it, and they don't use money to purchase that.
Sure.
So not all the land in the system was bought by waterfowlers, but a large chunk of it was.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that.
So, yeah. Anyway, I feel like we're getting to a point, dangerous point in these discussions where we've got waterfowlers pitted against fishermen, and we've got outdoorsmen pitted against each other on issues where we should be aligned because it gives us all access. This is a thing that we talk about with backcountry hunters and anglers. It gives us all access to public lands. What's their thing?
Right. Yeah. Public land, public access.
Keep public lands in public hands.
That's right. Public lands in public hands. And that includes all users, consumptive and non-consumptive users. So we got to figure out how to work together to get the best
for
everybody.
I'm glad you brought that, the consumptive and non-consumptive. A non-consumptive user is let's say a bird watcher. A consumptive user is a fisherman or a hunter that takes from the environment. If you look at the daily usage fees, there could be an argument made that non-consumptives pay more on a daily usage rate. Like over the course of the year, non-consumptives make up more of the budget for that year. But when you look at the overarching last 80 years of the program, there is no debating that waterfowlers have spent $800 million to purchase some of that land. So your non-consumptives wouldn't get to hold up their end of the bargain if waterfowlers hadn't held up their end of the bargain.
Bingo.
So let's all enjoy the land together and respect it and take care of it and kind of move forward. And let's use that Merritt Island as a blueprint to, like, let's not be so argumentative with each other. Don't look at me that way.
Okay.
Also, I want to bring this up. This is also new. Where are the freaking reviews?
Yeah, listeners.
Slackers. They're slackers.
Come on. Listeners.
They're slackers.
In love. We love you all.
Or did iTunes?
iTunes may. We don't know. Let us know if you've been trying to publish a review and you haven't been able to, or if you haven't published one. We would sure appreciate it if you went to iTunes and left us a 5-star review or, you know, any review and or recommended us to your friends, family.
Yeah, y'all, we have been at 46 ratings for like
3 weeks, 4 weeks?
Years.
And our goal was to have 100 ratings by the end of the year. So we're not, the trajectory is not getting us there.
But we need your help. We're asking sweetly. We need your help to do this.
No, we're not asking sweetly. We stop screwing around and go leave a review.
We're asking sweetly. That was Emily's way of asking sweetly.
We're demanding.
What are we talking about this week? Do any of you know?
We're talking about
bumper stickers.
Bumper stickers.
We all have them. Do you have bumper stickers on your truck,
Nate? The billboard of cars.
No, I just got a new truck, so no.
Oh, that's right. But you did have bumper stickers on your old truck.
I did not, actually.
Are you a bumper sticker? I hate bumper stickers.
I'm not a huge fan. Like, I'm not. Like, the only one I probably have on there is like a BHA sticker. If I could get one.
What's BHA?
I haven't got one yet.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers.
Oh. I feel like you're missing some letters.
I got two. So I've got the one cool little one, but then I've got the one that also looks like my kid's an honor roll student at Lake Elbert Elementary.
Yeah, I don't want that one.
I can mail it to you and you could put that on your truck at least as a placeholder.
No, it's all right. Thank you.
And Chad Risher from the Southeast, he's the chapter president for Southeast Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. He said he's going to get us some cool ones. They've got some different ones too.
Sweet.
So
yeah, Travis's car looks like it's been attacked by a graffiti artist. This is
he's got quite a few on there.
Like,
my car is baller, yo.
Yeah.
First off, I have Cast and Blast Florida bumper stickers.
Yeah, where's mine?
Yeah, I don't even have one.
Okay, both of you just hated on the bumper sticker idea.
That's a window cling.
That one and BHA are the two I'd probably put on there.
Window clings are a different level of tacky than a bumper sticker.
Our buddy Scott McKinney made us some bumper stickers. The guy that runs Darkwater Calls made us some bumper stickers with his die cutter machine thing. So I've got those on my truck on every angle. Doesn't matter where I'm at in the
drive-thru. He was given 3 and he used them all.
No, he gave me like 15.
Didn't give me
one. Heck,
didn't give Nate one.
No, I didn't get one.
I've got tons of them.
He put them all on his truck.
If any of you listening to this need a Cast and Blast Florida bumper sticker, please let me know.
It's a window cling.
It's a sticker.
It's a decal. It's a decal.
It's a
decal. Let's just call it a decal.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, it's not a bumper sticker.
Thank you for settling that.
All right.
It's a decal.
So I have a few. I have a Tangle Free. Essentially, if I'm on your pro staff or sponsored, I'll put a bumper sticker on my car and or boats. Like, I'm willing to support to some degree. I've got a Florida Fishing Product sticker. I've got a Tangle Free sticker. I've got a Smith Optics sticker. Darkwater Calls. And I have, this is funny because we're going to discuss this a little bit later, I have a United Waterfowl bumper sticker without the United Waterfowlers logo, just the head of the duck.
Just the little duck head, yeah.
Because it's really cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So what we've done is we've broken our bumper stickers up into some sections. We've got the ones you see every day.
General.
We've got the nonprofits. And then we've got some random ones that we kind of just came up with that we've seen here and there. So Em's going to take us through these and we'll offer our commentary that we know you've all been waiting for on these particular bumper stickers.
All right. First one is Costa.
Costa Del Mar.
What do you think when you see a Costa bumper sticker, Nate?
This dude probably has a 6 CD changer in his Ford F-150. And it's got at least 3 Kenny Chesney CDs and like a Florida Georgia Line maybe. And then maybe like a Sam Hunt or Jake Owen thrown in there.
Sam Hunt is classic, dude. That's big time.
I'm telling you.
Or who's the dude who got Entertainer of the Year? Jason Aldean.
Jason Aldean.
God, oh my gosh, yes. I hate that guy so much.
Really? That's a pretty strong opinion.
I do. I hate him like Travis hates Garth Brooks.
I don't hate Garth Brooks.
Don't. Why did you bring him up?
I got asked about Garth Brooks' hate this week, and I had to clarify it by one of our listeners. Gosh. So, yeah. First off, does the size of the bumper sticker matter?
Yes, absolutely. It matters.
It's all where you put it.
Like if you have a little Costa sticker off to the bottom right of your rear window, I judge you way less than I do if your entire back window is Costa Del Mar.
Agreed.
Let me ask you this. Yeah, is Costa Del Mar the Kenny Chesney of bumper stickers?
That's a pretty bold claim, but yeah. I think I'm going to go with you on that one.
What do you think when you see a Costa sticker?
I hope they realize that that warranty they paid for is null and void.
Yeah.
<That's> useless.
What's next?
Okay, next up we have the Yeti, or it just says Yeti.
Yeah, you don't call it the Yeti.
The Yeti.
It's not the Yeti, just like it's not the Facebook.
So, first off, you're a Yeti guy, right?
I like Yeti. I've got only cups. I don't have any coolers.
Yeah. Do you think of a certain type person when you think of the Yeti bumper sticker?
Yeah, no, they're rich, probably. Because they have to spend ungodly amounts of money on their products.
Or they're cooler rich, because they might be poor because they spend all their money on a cooler.
Yes, a Yeti 110 iced down with some silver bullets. Mm.
We are a Yeti family.
We are. I put my meal prep smoothies in my Yeti and take it to work.
She does.
But they stay cold a long time, don't they?
Yeah, when I wrote about it in my Facebook group, though, I made fun of myself. I said, I always put my smoothie in my Yeti so I look rich and cool, and also it stays cold all day.
Here's the thing. Yeti has become a status symbol, but the fact is their products really do work.
They are very good, very good products.
So when you see the bumper sticker, though, like, there's two types of Yeti bumper stickers. Do you know this? There's the little blue one you get when you buy your cup or your ice chest. And then there's the one that's like a cling that like has a redfish tail on top of it.
Yeah. Those actually look pretty cool to me. But
I'm a lot more grace giving on those. The one with deer antlers coming out of it, or the one with the redfish tail coming out of it, or the tuna fins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That tells me you took a little more care in your decor.
Yeah, you spent another $40 on a bumper sticker.
Not if you're pro staff. And also, can we differentiate too, when we're talking bumper stickers, between the bumper sticker and the one that has like the cutout letters?
Decal.
Is that what
they're called? Decals.
That's what they're called. Okay.
Bumper stickers and decals.
So the decal looks cleaner.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely it does. Yeah.
So there's a line I draw there when I judge you. When I pull up behind you, if you have a decal, like I think highly of you.
A lot less judgment being thrown your
way. I totally agree.
Okay. So
there's just like classier, cleaner looking.
Maybe moving forward, any bumper sticker manufacturers listening to this could move more into the decal arena.
Yes.
Like it's time that we could maybe get past bumper stickers as a rule.
Yeah, they are a thing of the 1980s.
Next up is G. Loomis. I don't know what this is.
It's a rod company.
Okay.
But I think of a bass fisherman when I think of a G. Loomis sticker on the back of somebody's truck.
Let me give you some pro tips when you see a Loomis sticker on someone's car. Because is it just Loomis now, or is it still G. Loomis?
G. Loomis?
I don't know.
I'm not really sure.
It's like that rap song.
I'm not really sure either.
I can't afford one. But let me tell you this. When I see a Loomis sticker, I think that dude's single.
Because he spends all his money on fishing rods.
Yeah, like he's got more discretionary money to spend, or he's in very much credit card debt. Very high credit card debt.
Very much.
Yeah, one of the two.
He's got his Bass Pro card maxed out.
Okay, next up we have Browning.
First off, I love the Browning logo.
Oh, I do too. It's classic, straight, nice lines. It's like, never goes out of style.
Yeah, and my daily driver is a Browning.
Yeah, yours is. That's right.
But do you have any emotions or feelings when you see that sticker on the back of a truck window?
Yeah, I feel like it's less of a hunting sticker, more of just like a country lifestyle sticker. It has become less of a gun company and more of just like a, hey, I'm cool with country boys.
That's
stuff.
Super fair, because you can't buy a Browning shotgun at Walmart, but you can dang sure buy that sticker at Walmart.
Absolutely, you can.
Have you seen the intertwined Browning deer head that has the male, the buck and the doe, and they form
with like the heart?
Yeah, one side's like hot pink.
What do you think when you see that?
Shared Facebook accounts?
Yeah. That's exactly what I think too.
Like, this is Travis in Emily Thompson. Boom.
If somebody has that sticker, like, they're not anyone's hunting buddy, because they don't go hunting.
No.
They're whipped.
I don't want to put it that way, but yes.
I don't hunt with anybody with a sticker like that.
If you have that sticker on your truck, first off, you might even have that sticker on like your Saturn.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
If you have that sticker, you need to revisit some of your life choices and maybe your long-term spousal relationships.
Yeah, I'm not into giving people marital advice, but
yeah, it's smart.
It's pretty strong.
It's a bold statement.
All right, we got a biggie.
Next up is Salt Life.
You want to start?
Yeah, my analogy is that Salt Life is the tramp stamp of the bumper sticker world.
Oh yes, I agree. I saw one in Atlanta the other day. How much Salt Life is that guy getting?
That's what cracks me up. Like they've created this brand that transcends Salt Life. Like it is the Kenny Chesney brand. That's the dude that listens to Kenny Chesney.
Yes.
He's driving around. He's got a pirate flag on the back of his 84 Accord, and he is Salt Life. All he can talk about is surfing and palm trees and Corona. Speaking of you drinking Coronas while we're recording this.
Yeah, well.
It's not even a real beer.
It's what I had.
Like Salt Life is the OG of bad decals, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, it started out like, you know, solid enough, simple enough. And then it just exploded into this thing that doesn't even resemble anything fishing related at all.
Yeah, like it went.
Didn't you say that people like in Nashville have Salt Life stickers?
Yeah, that's what he was just talking about.
People all over the country. They have them all over the country. It's like if you've ever been to the beach ever, all of a sudden you're like.
Living that Salt Life.
Yeah. If you have a Salt Life sticker, the chances are. All right, let me ask you a question. Put odds on this, Nate. What are the percentage chances a Salt Life sticker owner wears skinny jeans?
That's a solid 80%.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd take the over on that all day.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I think they definitely have worn a white puka shell necklace in their life.
We mean have worn. They've got one on right now.
Mm-hmm. It's 2001 all over again.
Mm-hmm. Backstreet's back.
Do you think we've offended any of all our right. listeners that have a Salt Life bumper sticker, or is there no chance any of our listeners have a Salt Life bumper sticker?
I'm kind of hopeful that there's no chance, but I guarantee there's at least a couple.
You think we just lost some?
Probably.
Whatever.
You think they're going out and not leaving us 5-star reviews because of this?
Yes, they're going to leave us a 1-star review because of this.
I would love that. I would love if somebody would leave us a 1-star review and then we could start a feud.
a frenemy.
I'm in a fighting mood today.
A show frenemy.
Okay, next up, are we done with Salt Life?
I'm done with Salt. I've been done with Salt Life since before you said it.
All right. Next up is Banded.
Banded? Like Banded Waiters?
Yeah.
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 I like their logo.
Their logo is pretty clean. It's a good looking logo.
I feel like Banded is kind of the Salt Life of the duck hunting community.
I think I would agree with that.
It's a little bit. The definition I wrote is if somebody has a Banded sticker on their truck, they have a spelling test on Thursday after PE.
Yes. Yeah. They're young and like brand new into the duck hunting game. Like Duck Dynasty Boys, sort of.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. To
we
bring
go back
full
to that analogy. Yeah.
But didn't you have a pair of Banded Waiters until last season?
I did. And I hated them because I've released them on this show like 19 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of the 33 episodes, I've released the Banded Waiters like half of them. Because they essentially aren't waiters, they're pants.
All right. We're moving on from Banded. All right. Next up is anything with the word hooker in it.
Salt hooker, salty hooker, fish hooker.
Shiny hooker, new hooker. Old hooker, little hooker,
sea
big
squirt.
Hooker.
Yeah, this I is can't. Tough for me because as Nate's pointing out right now.
The sea squirt hooker was the name of a boat that Travis used to have.
My first boat that my dad and I paid $800 for was a sea squirt hooker.
That's fantastic.
And it was proud, loud and proud on the side.
Did she look like she's been working at a truck stop strip joint for about 50 years?
I may have told this story on the podcast before, but she did have the wrong lure unit. And so reverse was forward and forward was reversed, which made for some dicey trailering if we ever loaned you the boat. When you went to put it on or off the trailer, it created some havoc.
Poor old girl.
But yeah, any if you have to put hooker in your brand.
Don't. Just don't.
Yeah, it's like, come on, there's no pretense anymore, right? You've gone fully around the bend.
Oh yeah, you're full sleazeball, like 100%.
I don't want to say this out loud, but I'm going to. It's like that's you would not have a problem operating a porn site.
Wow. There we go.
Dang.
Duck Commander, we already talked about them. Duck Dynasty Boys.
Yeah, but we didn't talk about the Duck Commander sticker.
Okay, let's talk about Duck Commander stickers.
What do you think when you see that guy?
So this is not... Okay, if it's like the original logo.
Yeah, the big oval.
Just like the big oval, like a green oval with like the duck in the middle. I think that guy's a duck hunter. But if it's any variance outside of that,
okay,
I think those people just watch Duck Dynasty.
Like if it's a picture of Uncle Cy with the beard.
Oh yeah, Duck Dynasty.
Dude doesn't duck hunt. He's not an outdoorsman. No way. He likes Uncle Cy. That's fair.
Yep.
What if it's just disembodied faces with beards?
Again, ooh, Duck Dynasty. Like it's just a. You do really?
They remind me of Christmas. Why? Why does my brain do these things? Yeah. Oh, it must be it. Okay. Next up is, this is so dumb, Bass Pro Shops.
When I see the Bass Pro Shops logo, it makes me angry.
Why is that?
Because when we were younger, like, Bass Pro Shops was cool. That was an experience to go there.
It was a destination place.
Right. And now when I see that, it's like you have a Walmart sticker on your truck.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
If you wear a Bass Pro Shops hat, you're wearing a Walmart hat, essentially.
That's fair.
Don't even offend Walmart like that.
And no one would wear a Walmart hat.
Although Bass Pro Shops has Uncle Buck's nut treehouse or whatever that thing is in the middle where you can get the nuts. The cashews, you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking
don't
about.
Don't leave me hanging out here.
No, I'm not going to leave you hanging.
I don't think it's called Uncle Buck's nut treehouse. I don't think that's the official name of it.
What is that thing called? You guys know what I'm talking about?
It's just Uncle Buck's.
I think it's called the snack bar.
They do jerky and all kind of different stuff.
My earbud fell out of my ear. I laughed so hard. Okay. Next up. Oh, this one's so good. Flow Grown.
Oh, that is a good one.
This is you. You have a big Flow Grown sticker, don't you?
No. Hell no. Are you kidding me?
It's the most offended I've ever
caught,
seen him.
I wouldn't be caught dead with one of those things on my truck.
What a
no,
hater.
This is the 16-year-old kid with the $80,000 jacked up truck who's afraid to get it dirty because he doesn't want to mess up the rims.
Good call.
He's got an $80,000.
And has never touched a dead animal in his life.
Yeah, that truck is lifted, and that dude is about 5'5" tall.
Yes,
and also,
absolutely.
That truck is tricked out, and it's two-wheel drive.
Yes, yes. Never seen the mud, ever.
No.
All right, that's about the end of the general ones. Now we can go to the nonprofits.
All right. So when we piece these out, we left out a few nonprofits like Quail Unlimited and Pheasants Forever and stuff like that. We try to stick to our Florida nonprofits that we see most frequently. Right. So what have we got?
Okay, the first one is CCA Florida.
Go ahead.
Knowing what I know about that organization, when I see that bumper sticker, I'm like, you've paid a lot of money to sit at a table and get some swag and bid on some art that you did not need for your house.
Yeah, that's about right.
You paid $500 to eat a medium warm Texas Cattle Company steak. You went home with a bag full of hats and tackle, and you bid $3,000 drunkenly on a painting that your wife doesn't know about. End rant.
I think we about covered CCA.
Yeah,
right,
I don't
there.
Know that I have anything else to add to that. That was pretty.
That was pretty spot
that was
on.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if some of our listeners know, I used to work for CCA.
Yes.
Full disclosure.
And then by proxy, I volunteered at a CCA event one time.
And so she got to experience it full on. Everything she just said is 100% accurate. The only thing I might would add is you also pay $25 for all you could drink beer so that you could get yourself inebriated so that you overbid.
So that you can spend more money. Yeah.
On that painting that you bought.
I thought that was implied. Excuse me. I should have stated that more bluntly. Okay, next one is Ducks Unlimited.
When I see a DU sticker, I give that guy the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to be honest with you.
I do too. You know,
do you want to fist bump him?
I don't know that I want to fist bump him. I tend to think he's a little older, and maybe that's. I think you see the DU sticker as the only sticker.
Oh,
yes,
it's
you see
singular.
Just the duck head, just the head of the.
And maybe but that's the only sticker on that guy's car. Don't you agree?
Yeah, it's like that and like NRA.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I see that good combination call. A lot.
Life member.
Yes, life member.
National Wild Turkey Federation.
This guy, I also give this guy a little bit of the benefit of a doubt. And like, I just think he's up on the whole turkey hunting thing.
See, I'm different than you. I feel like this is the gateway nonprofit. This is
really?
This is the marijuana of the nonprofit world. The National Wild Turkey Federation. I'm not bashing what they do. I'm just saying, I feel like that's the entry level.
No, that's probably right. There's, you know, it's not that expensive to join.
It's not that expensive to join. They do have banquets. They have
banquets all the time. And, you know, turkey hunting is awesome. So
let me say this. Of the nonprofits we've got listed here, I think they're, obviously it's just NWTF in the logo, but they'll usually have a turkey feeding on it or the turkey tracks or whatever. To me, it's one of the cleanest looking logos.
Oh, it's a good looking logo. That's for sure.
All right. What about United Waterfowlers of Florida? UWF. Every time I see UWF, I picture ducks in a wrestling ring.
So there's two stickers for this organization. There is the, I think they call it the Mad Ringer or the Angry Ringer. And it's like this pissed off looking ringneck with the purple head. And it's an oval, looks like one of those location destination stickers where they have the three letters. It's a terrible bumper sticker. The other one I have on my truck, even though I'm not an active UWF member, it is a blue wing teal, but where the white crescent is, it's the state of Florida. I think that's a super creative.
That one's pretty cool.
I think it's a super creative sticker.
You're a poser.
The thing I know about these guys is they usually spend their times being angry all the time. Like they're always mad about something.
Yeah. I want to give UWF the benefit of the doubt because any of the nonprofits, when you talk to those guys, their heart generally seems to be in the right place.
Yes. Yep.
But they seem to be more in their way, in their own way, than any other group I've ever run across.
I would agree with that.
Like they get painted as being only caring about South Florida. And then they're like, no, we're for everywhere in Florida. And they go chase one project up in the panhandle and then they go right back to South Florida. It's just, I don't know. They almost need like a PR consultant or something.
No, they do for sure.
Okay. Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. Beehive.
I want to be friends with that guy.
Yeah. I don't have this sticker yet because it's in my truck. I need to put it on. And I told you guys on the show, I joined a few weeks ago, but someone gifted me the membership. I like their logo. It's clean. The logo's clean. It's a sticker, though. It's not die cut.
No, it is a sticker.
So it casts a little bit of aspersions right there. Just from the...
A little bit. But this guy, the guy who has that sticker, is up to date on all the issues, understands kind of hunting as conservation plus the public land, public access type thing, and... Like, I want to sit down and have a beer with that guy.
Yeah, I feel like the BHA member is going to be informed.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He's not somebody that's just going to a banquet to haphazardly bid on, you know, a prairie dog hunt in western Montana because he was overserved.
Right, no. With lodging. And I don't even think they have, like, banquets, like a traditional banquet.
Yeah, no, they do an online auction, I think.
Did you just say prairie dog hunting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So these are the bumper stickers that annoy, entertain, or delight the three of us. If you have one that you think we should cover or you just feel the need to rant about it, please do so on social media at Cast and Blast FL on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Boom.
It's time for Keep and Release.
Nate, what is your release item?
So my release item this week, going back to my what's new, is Atlanta traffic. I don't know of another place. I haven't been to another place that has at like 12 noon in the afternoon where everybody's supposed to be at work or at school. 285 is still backed up for like 20 minutes. I just don't get it. And it's usually nothing. It's usually like there's no accident. There's no anything. It's just nothing.
Just volume of people,
just cars everywhere.
You know what it is? It's all the rappers
all the time. Yeah, I've heard there are a few up here.
I feel like secretly you're in the underground rap scene and you've decided not to let us know, like you're keeping us on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
let me ask you this. Have you noticed an uptick in the quantity of Chick-fil-A's?
Oh, there's one like every corner. It's kind of nice.
So that's advantageous because even with the traffic, you can whip in there and get you an 8-piece chicken nugget.
Absolutely. Or a spicy chicken sandwich.
Yeah, or some chicken minis.
Hang on. I feel a rap coming out of me. Like, into the A to the T-H-N. He's the dopest little shorty in all Atlanta.
Nope.
Dang.
You got to end on the rhyme. What is your release, Emily?
Did you just figure it out? My release is for the women. It is the Target bathing suit line of 2018. Target is like where all the girls go to get bathing suits. It's mid-range budget. It's supposed to be cute. They have all different sizes and mix and match. And all their shiz is so ugly this year, I can't even. And I'm so irritated about it.
How irritated are you?
I'm so irritated that I may have taken it out on the dressing room girl when I went to try to find some bathing suits.
You did the thing that you always get onto me for doing?
Yeah, I exploded on a stranger. But I walked out and I was just like, handed her the stuff I didn't like. And I was like, remember when Target had cute bathing suits? And she's like, oh, well, we're getting an additional shipment soon. And I was like, no, I'm done. Oh, poor kid. She's making 10 bucks an hour. And I stormed out in a fit of rage. So anyway, bye Target. I'm just going to go look online like everyone else for my, you know, the industry is suffering, right? Because Amazon's taking over the world. Nobody goes to stores to buy anything anymore.
Sure.
So you think they'd like get cute stuff, but maybe 32-year-old women aren't supposed to buy bathing suits at Target anymore. I don't know if anybody can help.
Neither Nate nor I know how to respond to anything you just said.
I know.
Nope.
Do any girls listen to the podcast? If you do, will you just tell me?
Leave a review.
We don't have to be friends. Just text me, Facebook me. Let someone know.
She's feeling alone. Are you feeling alone?
I'm feeling alone. This is a roller coaster of an episode for me. What's your release?
My release, specifically what I had written down, was my new running shoes.
Oh.
But I'm going broader than that because I really...
Wait.
Yeah, I think you meant to call them workout shoes.
Have you ran or worked out in them at all?
No, but you never know when a bear attack's going to occur. So it's super important to be prepared at all times.
I agree with that.
So here's the deal. I forget when this was. A month ago, we remodeled our shower now. And we have this gigantic back porch. And we don't have a truck. My dad has a pickup truck, but I have a big SUV that I pull the boat with and everything. So we left all of our debris. We put a tarp on our porch and we put all our debris out there until I could borrow my dad's truck one day. This is turkey season. It's not hard. It's not easy to pin his truck down right now.
Right.
So borrowed it last Thursday, I think. Brought it over here. Had to go to the landfill to dump all this debris. I'm getting somewhere.
Slowly. Okay. We're getting there.
I stepped on a nail an inch up into the bottom of my foot.
Ouch.
So I was trying to get back into working out, hitting the treadmill, doing some weights, doing some things like that. A little self-care, as Emily likes to call it. But I stepped on this stupid nail, which set me back.
You got tetanus.
But no, I didn't because I had a tetanus booster. But what happened is I bought some new workout shoes, we'll call them, not running shoes. From Amazon, some ASICs, same shoes I've bought like the last 20 times because I'm 40 years old, right? You don't buy different shoes. You find
Were
a pair
straps
of
straps or tie up?
That's a great question.
The tie up, dude. I'm not in the home.
They're orthopedic, the black ones you get at
but
Walmart.
But they don't, it feels like there's a rock or something in the insole and I can't wear them. So now
maybe it's a nail.
I don't know. This wasn't the shoe I was wearing. I was wearing my other shoes when I stepped on the nail. So anyway, I've just had some setbacks in the workout department. If you're watching a live stream of this, not that we record it, but if you were, you would notice I'm not as felt as you thought I would be when I recorded this.
Not so Ryan Gosling.
Less like Ryan Gosling.
Less like Ryan Gosling than I'd like to be at this moment. But I'm headed in the right direction now. I'm on the road to recovery.
Every time he gets better, like the other day, Finley, our puppy, took Travis out at the knee. Literally like sidelined him and messed up his knee.
It was a chop block.
That
had a referee
better.
Been here, he'd have thrown a flag.
Travis wants to work out. He's like, I need new shoes to work out. We save up money. We get new shoes. They don't fit him right. They feel like they have something in the insole.
It was terrible.
Then he's cleaning up the thing and he steps on a nail. Then he gets better from that. And I'm not kidding you. Finley took out his knee again.
That dog.
Again. So it's like, I told Travis, I'm like, you obviously are trying to do the right thing because all the forces of nature are trying to keep you from working out. So you just got to keep trying.
That said, can you pass me those cookies over there?
It's real funny. It's hilarious.
Who wants to do keep first?
I'll do keep because mine's pretty inconsequential and has nothing to do with the outdoors.
Well, neither does mine.
But it's saving my bacon every day. I've gotten to the point where I'm struggling at work a little, shall we say, in my office every day. So I have this little field trip that I take to the Dunkin' Donuts. It's about 30 seconds from my office, and I get a small caramel coffee black. It's just got a little shot of syrup in it.
Caramel coffee black?
Yeah.
Those are two different things.
Well, instead of sweetener or cream or anything, yeah, she's just getting the caramel syrup.
Oh, you just
syrup.
Get
a little shot.
Syrup. Okay.
A little shot.
I got you.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
And it's so much better than the coffee of the office because that stuff tastes like swill. I don't know. It's just like, it's just a luxury thing, $1.65 or something for coffee, but I don't even care. It's just like a vacation. And it's before the 3 o'clock cheeseburger. So it just gets me through to the 3 o'clock cheeseburger.
Nate, do you say caramel or caramel?
I think I say both. It just kind of depends on what context I'm talking about it in.
Do you say pecan or pecan or pecan?
Pecan. I say pecan.
Again, I kind of go back and forth with that. I know I'm that's like terrible, but
yeah, no, it's fine. I just
what
was
do you
curious.
Say?
I don't know. I say pecan for sure, but I don't know what I say on.
Oh,
caramel.
It totally depends on
caramel.
Who he's around.
I think I say caramel
because if we were in Alabama and you had like a little cute blonde waitress waiting on you, you'd be like, "Can
pecan.
I have some pecan pie?
I want some pecan
and a sweet
pie,
tea.
Please."
Yeah.
First off, I would never say that because pecan pie is the worst.
You what? It's so good.
No, that's the worst. Like that's the
no, that's great.
That's the worst of the pies. For Thanksgiving
I
next year, can we do
it's not the best pie.
Can we do a pie it's, draft at Thanksgiving?
Oh my gosh,
yes.
I'm writing
oh
that
my
down.
Gosh, please, yes.
I don't know that that has anything to do with the outdoors, but I feel like our listeners would be there for that.
I can't even spell Thanksgiving. I'm so excited.
That is pretty exciting.
What is your keep, Nate?
So my keep is not outdoors related either, but it is Belk department stores.
What? Tell like, me more.
Right? It's Hold on. Strange, right?
Did you take your man card to Atlanta with you or did you leave
I
that
did.
Here? Or?
No, I did. But I also like to save money on clothes. And so Belk is one of those places where you can do that.
Uh-huh.
You can get a lot of clothes for not a lot of money.
And stack coupons.
And stack coupons and, you know, and they'll even give you coupons if you don't have one. They'll be like, oh, I've got a coupon right here I can use. And it's like 30% off. It's like, oh, thanks, department store worker. I appreciate you.
Hey, are you gonna pick up some brightly colored fish themed beach towels for your new apartment at Belk's?
No,
I don't
no.
even know
I am,
who I'm talking to.
I am pretty. I'm a pretty plain dresser. Okay, like khaki shorts, like maybe a polo shirt, nothing too crazy. But they always have like buy one get ones or buy one get three free. Like they got all kind of stuff going on over there.
Dude,
I know it's weird.
This makes me love you more. I'm so
I just
sad. Want
to right. put the bleep music over this entire segment.
No,
so
we're
far.
Not. That's not. That's
do
gonna
it.
Happen. Doesn't Belk's have all the like Guy Harvey shirts and stuff, or is that Bell's?
That's Bell's. In
Bell's
Florida.
Bell's is more of the Guy Harvey one, but Belk's has like Columbia, and they sell several, a couple of different. I think maybe Salt Life actually. Mm. So they sell some outdoor lifestyle type brands, but hey, I like to save money on clothes, and I'm. Not going to apologize for it.
Be you.
Wow.
You do you.
Wow. That, I'm going to say of all the keeps we've done, like we've done at this point, 33 apiece, 31 apiece probably.
That's the most shocking.
I feel like that's the most. Yeah. I was not prepared for that one.
What's your keep?
My keep. Sorry. Bringing it back to something relevant for our listeners is the. Is the Olakai Ohana flip-flop. And I think you kept Olakai earlier in the...
I have kept Olakai.
Earlier on an episode. This is my fourth or fifth pair I've bought of these. They are... I mean, you can speak to it. They are hands down the most comfortable sandal on the market.
Super comfortable, yes.
They call their footbed the wet sand technology. And I promise you, they feel weird for like the first day or two until you break them in.
Yeah, you got to break them in.
But once you break them in, they're like, it's like words can't even describe it, man. It's like a Billy Graham revival up in my foot.
Yeah, it's like stepping into
rip
a cloud.
Yes. So I went with brown this time.
Of sand.
I've always been a super dark like black guy. I went with the brown to kind of mix it up. And I'm very happy so far. Very comfortable shoes. They're expensive. I think
did you
like,
hear yourself?
Yeah. I think they're like $70.
Yeah.
But yeah. They have a 1-year warranty, which if you're hard on flip-flops.
I got the leather ones, the brown leather ones. And I've had mine for 2.5 years. And usually by this time, I'm blowing them out.
Yeah. They hold
like
up well.
Like blowing flip-flops out. They have been the best sandal I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
And I will blow them out over the summer, typically. Like I'll catch them on a dock or something like that.
Right. They don't last more than a year.
With tarpon season, but the good thing about them is with Olakai's warranty, I send them some pictures, I fill out the form online, and they ask me what color I want, and they send me a new pair. And I think I'm going to go gray on my next pair.
You don't like the brown?
I do like the brown. I just think I'm out there now. I'm venturing.
Wow. Okay.
Living on the edge.
All right.
As they say, as Bon Jovi says.
Mm-mm. He says living on a prayer.
That's what he says.
Mm. Lord help us. Lord bear me strength.
Y'all stay woke.
No. Jesus.
No, don't.
You're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. The podcast is the brainchild of Travis Thompson and Nathan Henderson. Make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on social media at Cast and Blast FL.